Welcome. You're listening to a sermon podcast from Oak Hills Church in Folsom, California.
I'd like to ask you to stand for our reading, and our reading is actually not a reading, it is a prayer. What we're going to do is our passage today is Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. As we think about the practice of prayer, we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer and try to use that as we try to practice prayer throughout the week. So what I'm going to do is read the first line of Matthew, that is Matthew 6 and verse 9, and then invite you to join me again as we say the Lord's Prayer together. This then, Jesus says, is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Quitter's Day is the second Friday in January. That means it was 2 days ago. And it is so named because apparently research indicates that more than half of those who make New Year's resolutions will abandon them by the second Friday in January. So it was fun while it lasted, but let's get back to exercise-free living and a diet built on the food group known as sugar. Let's just do it. But if you happen to be part of the 50% that are still in the resolution game, then you know that whatever it is you resolved for 2026, or whatever it is that you've intended to do whenever, won't happen, and indeed can't happen, unless there is some kind of plan and process to pursue the resolution today, tomorrow, 2 months from now, on days when there are many other things to do, and on days when we don't feel like pursuing the resolution. And the same principle holds true in our life and in our relationship with God. If we want to grow in that relationship, if we want Jesus' thoughts and perspective and wisdom and character to become more prominent in us, then we have to have some kind of plan and process to pursue that desire today, tomorrow, 2 months from now, on days when we have many other things to do, and on days when we don't feel like it. So last week we started talking about practicing faith. And this is a series where we're talking about the exercises, if you prefer the disciplines, if you prefer the calisthenics, that people throughout history who are in the know have engaged in to become more spiritually fit. This series, then, in a way of putting it, is about the planks, pull-downs, and push-ups we do to cooperate with God's Spirit in cultivating Jesus' thoughts, perspectives, attitudes, reactions, wisdom, and character. The goal is not to get good at doing planks. The goal is to have the mind of Christ. The goal is not how many push-ups can we handle, but to graciously handle life when we don't get what we want. Christians throughout history have prioritized these practices to experience God and His transforming power. And as we will see, Jesus engaged in these practices themselves. You see on the screen this little picture that we have that demonstrates what we're talking about. Little fingers starting to learn the piano. One keystroke at a time. You're going to get one of these cards when you come in every week, and it's almost going to be, well, it's going to be very difficult to live out the practice without this card, unless, of course, you can do whatever you want on your own. But this card is a way for us to kind of be communal, even as we go out and individually seek to pursue these things. These cards are more important than these sermons, I assure you. This is the practice plan. This is what we say, okay, what are we going to do this week? Well, this is what's on the card. This is what we're going to do to kind of help cultivate the Jesus way in us. And we started last week with fasting. And we suggested fasting from Tuesday's lunch or more if you can, and from media on Thursday evening. Not so we become Olympic level fasters. Not so we can walk around and say, well, did you fast? Yeah, I did. What'd you fast? I fasted from Tuesday lunch. Oh, really? I went from Tuesday lunch. I still haven't eaten, and it's Sunday. Not for that. But to remember that our bodies are an integral part of our being, or to put it this way, our bodies are an integral part of our spiritual lives. This idea of our spiritual life that does not incorporate our body is not our spiritual life. Our spiritual life is this holistic picture of the human self, all being brought more and more under the kingship of Jesus and more formed in his character. So our bodies are integral, and our bodies are a crucial part of our life with God, and fasting trains us to say no to our body's cravings. The back of this card and the back of every card or somewhere on the card each week, we're going to build on what we did. So the fasting practice is on the back of this card, and we want to engage in it again this week. But today, we're talking about the practice of prayer. We could philosophize, theologize, and theorize about prayer for weeks on end because it is a topic that baffles and bothers and leaves many scratching their heads. What about this? What about that? I pray, and then this happens. What do I do with that? I pray and I ask God, and then that, not only does that not happen, tragedy strikes. What do I do with that? And so we get into all that, and that has a way of knotting us up, and I feel a lot of those tensions, as I'm sure many of you do. Thinking about prayer is good. Talking about prayer is good. Wondering about prayer, all that's good. But Matthew 6:9 is the runway into the Lord's Prayer, and it simply says, this then is how you should pray. And the point is to do it. And the beauty of prayer or any other of these practices is that doing them with the desire to encounter God is far more important than understanding them. If we do them with a desire to encounter God, then the Holy Spirit will meet us in our desire, and we will experience him as the bread of life. Or put it this way, we don't have to understand why a plank is good for our core and why a plank strengthens muscles that might help a bad back. We need someone who knows what they are talking about to tell us to do planks, maybe show us how to do them, and then we need to go out and do them. And gradually, over time, our core will get stronger and maybe our back will hurt less. In other words, our core and our back will change. I think Jesus generally knows what he is talking about. Being a little sarcastic. I mean, if he's not brilliant on all matters of life, let's shut this down and go to brunch at your house. And if he's not really clued in to the way things work and what reality actually is, why are we here? He says in Matthew 6, here is how you pray. So grab your card for a second. Look halfway down. It says, pray the Lord's Prayer. This week, we're going to practice prayer by reciting the Lord's Prayer throughout the day. What does that mean? By just in our mind, not out loud. I mean, you can do it out loud, but in the car, in transition times, in between times, you're praying the Lord's Prayer. So you're in the car, or you're walking into a store, you're walking out of a store, you're walking through a store, you're in the bathroom, you're on a walk, you're waiting for an appointment, and you pray the Lord's Prayer in your mind or out loud throughout the day to recalibrate to his kingdom, to connect with his spirit, to awaken to his reality and stay alert to what he's doing in and around us. Pray it slowly. Note the phrases. Here's the other thing. You don't have to get through it all. I'm going to mention this earlier. Our Father in heaven. I don't know about you, but I don't really need to go much further than that. It's good to, but I could sink down into that for a long time. Just our Father in heaven, all that that entails. I went to Raley's yesterday afternoon to grab lunch and then get back over here, and I was walking from my car into the store, and I was praying the Lord's Prayer through the parking lot. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. About this time, I came up to the door of Raley's, and there's a sign outside. So here I am, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Wait, Raley's has hidden a Buzz Lightyear and Woody in the store for kids to find? I'm going to find those things. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, my mind goes off. I hope they have that turkey stuff in the salad bar. I love that turkey stuff. So give us this day our daily turkey. I mean, our daily bread. You know, that's the kind of way it works, is prayer's not easy. It's work. It takes time and intention. We have to choose to pray, which means we have to choose not to do something else, and interruptions and distractions, and there's a squirrel and all that kind of stuff is bound to happen because it's really easy to get distracted. Not to mention, it's really easy to get bound up in all the questions and all the mysteries that surround prayer. So this practice of prayer this week might be challenging. There was a French monk in the 12th century known as Bernard of Clairvaux, and there's a story, probably completely untrue, but it makes a solid point. Bernard was riding his horse up into the Alps to give a retreat, and as he passed a farmer, he heard this kind of loud grunting and groaning sound, and he stopped to look down, and this farmer remarked to him, "You know, I envy you with nothing to do but pray while I have to kill myself working in this rocky soil." Bernard said, "Well, you know, praying can be even harder work than digging around in those stones." "I doubt that very much," the farmer said. "With that beautiful horse and that gorgeous saddle, what do you know of hardship?" Bernard hadn't really given much attention to his horse or to his saddle, and he kind of looked it over and he said, "It is a beautiful horse, isn't it?" And he said, "I tell you what, if you can say the Lord's Prayer from beginning to end without taking your mind off of it, I'll give you this horse." "That's generous of you," the farmer said, and he began praying. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And right about then, he looked at Bernard and said, "Do I get the saddle too?" And it's kind of the way it is. It's this, this and that. And I want to just invite us to embrace the this and that. And to kind of help us pray this week, I want to walk through a few of the amazing, absolutely stunning ideas embedded in the Lord's Prayer. Can't do them all for obvious reasons, don't have time. But this prayer, at its core, reveals to us Jesus' understanding of reality. We find in this prayer how Jesus related to God, how he saw God. We find in this prayer Jesus' way of dealing with a difficult and unfinished world. We see how he handled less than ideal circumstances. It's all packed into this short prayer. So this prayer is a window through which we see a clear picture of how Jesus lives in the world and how he relates to God. This prayer is a profound way to walk and talk with God in everyday life. And if this gets into us even a little, and we practice the Lord's Prayer even a little, we may start to encounter prayer in a whole new way. Some of you, and I put myself in this bucket, prayer is mysterious and it's often hard, especially when you're doing it on your own. And it's hard sometimes to keep spontaneously finding words to pray, and it's really good to take words that have been on paper for years that Christians have prayed and use those words as my words to help me pray. That's what we're hoping to do for this week. So let's start with the first phrase, "Our Father in heaven." Right out of the gate is an idea that can reshape our view of God and change our view of prayer. Our Father in heaven. Probably said it 1,000 times, more than that, 10,000 times. Our Father in heaven. Remember that Jesus is teaching his followers how to pray, not just the attitude they should have. He's not theorizing about it. He's giving them the actual words to use. And of course, there's plenty of space and room for spontaneous praying. But one of the world's leading experts is saying, here's how you do it. And it begins with, "Our Father." Not my Father. Our Father. Right out of the gate, What are we getting? This is communal. This is something that Christians pray together. Our Father. Throughout the centuries, the people of God have prayed this prayer. We prayed it earlier. We prayed it twice so far. Now think about this. We prayed it twice so far in this service. And in doing so, we joined our voices with the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul, Matthew, Mark, Mary, St. Augustine, Bernard of Clairvaux, Julian of Norwich, St. Teresa, Martin Luther, Nelson Mandela, and billions of others throughout history who have prayed this prayer, communal. And the prayer begins, Our Father. So not just the Our, but the Father. Relationship encircles this prayer. God is our Father. Intimacy. Relationship. Caring. Good. Provider. Protector. In the first century, fathers were the guy in charge, but perhaps not the most accessible or not the most tender. Jesus, though, models a relationship with God where God is Jesus' loving, caring, intimate, close at hand Father. He calls him Father throughout his life at various times, whether it's a tough time or not. For example, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, take this cup from me. He's on the cross. Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Over in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God, our good Father, loving, kind, joy-filled, gracious, compassionate, our Father in heaven. Now, we usually think of heaven as some far-off place beyond the clouds. But in the Bible, heaven often, if not usually, means the atmosphere right around us, the air we breathe, the space right here and right now. So hear the opening of the prayer, Our Father in heaven. Is our Father who is with us right now. Our Father who is near to me, to you, with us, in us. This is the beginning of the prayer. A good, loving, kind, compassionate Father who is here right now. Now, I realize this is not easy for some of us. Because it's hard for some of us to imagine God as a good father because we have little or no experience with a good father. Unfortunately, this is almost more typical, not atypical. We understand a powerful father. We understand a disinterested father. We understand a disappointed father. We understand an angry father. We understand an inaccessible father, but maybe not a good, loving, compassionate, kind father. Jesus is being very intentional in teaching us to begin our prayers with our Father. Because people, then and now, do not always think of God in such intimate and relational ways. Last night, our son Sam's 2-year-old daughter didn't want to eat her lasagna. And Sam wanted her to eat her lasagna. You know the scene. She was crying, getting up, running away. Sam was walking after her. The first time he was walking like a cloud, like angelically on a cloud. The second time there was a thumpy thump when he was going because his feet were hitting. He was getting agitated. She was crying. But in the end, this little girl with a tear-stained face sat on his lap, and he gently shoveled lasagna into her mouth and spoke gently to her, and now and then she just said, Hi, Daddy. Now, there's a picture there. And it's not a perfect picture, but that's a good, loving, kind, compassionate father with one of his children near that he's helping. Prayer begins with this. Daughters and sons interacting with their very good father, being with their very good father. Imagine if all we did this week in these in-between times, back to this, and I would encourage this for some of you, if all we did was pray the opening line, our Father in heaven. Might find ourselves tripping over it, but our Father in heaven, our Father, good and loving Father, who is right here and right now with me as I go into Rayleigh's, with me as I search for Buzz and Woody, with me as I do whatever I'm doing. It might surprise some of us how prayer might start to move from being a bore toward being something like a meaningful relationship. Next phrase, your kingdom come. Now, there are other phrases around it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We can't unpack them all, but your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven captures much of the heart of this section. What are we asking when we say your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? At various points in our community prayer, happened this week, it happens every week, the leader says your kingdom come and we respond with your will be done. What is that? Why do we do that? What are we asking? Why is it so important for Christians to regularly and fervently pray, your kingdom come? Consider the cultural setting when Jesus told his first followers to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Rome ruled the world and they ruled with a heavy hand. They occupied conquered territories and posted soldiers to dissuade any ideas of revolt. They demanded huge taxes to fund their empire, leaving many poor and hopeless to ever escape poverty. The first century world of Palestine and Israel was unpredictable. It was tense. It was heavy. It was sad. Think about our context. We could list all kinds of ruptures in our world, tensions, conflicts, disease, disaster, uncertainty and unpredictability, not to mention the myriad of personal circumstances where sickness or loss or financial struggle or relational problems weigh heavy on many hearts. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The Lord's Prayer is drawing us into a perspective on you fill in the blank that is reframed by the bigger story of God's kingdom and will. God, may your unhindered rule and reign govern the situation in Venezuela, the unrest in Iran, the war in Ukraine and Russia, in his life because he's got cancer, in her life she just lost her job, in their family as they endure a difficult time. Your kingdom come draws upon the real presence of Jesus, our Father in heaven, in our lives, and in the world, to reframe the situation through the lenses of God's kingdom and will. And in praying this way, we're remembering that no situation, no matter how chaotic, is outside of God's sight or beyond his strength. God, bring your good rain into the messes of this earth so the goodness and beauty of heaven become tangible and visible. Another way to think of your kingdom come is this. God, we are tired of power-hungry egomaniacs who played board games with people's lives to quench their thirst for power. We reject all that, and instead we want your kingdom to come and your will to be done. And we're not praying this from a safe distance in fear of getting too close to the mess. We are immersed in the mess with compassion, with hope, with a willingness to do what we can in addition to praying, and with confidence that God cares and is able to heal. So from the beginning of this prayer, we, the prayers, are being recalibrated to the priority of God's kingdom, his will, the upholding of his good name. We want that in us. We want that in the world and in the various situations and circumstances. Now think about this. We're halfway through the Lord's Prayer. And so far, the word I or we has not yet been used. So far, the whole prayer is oriented around God our Father, who is always near. We pray his name would be treasured and valued and honored. His kingdom, his reign, his goodness would come. His will would be done right here and right now on earth as it is in heaven. So far, not a single mention of me or what I want or what I think I need. The prayer is oriented around God and around his purposes, his agenda, his will, because followers of Jesus want to want what he wants. See, the Lord's Prayer is Jesus' theology. I hope you get this. I hope this just cracks into whatever familiarity wall that's keeping you from entering into this. The Lord's Prayer is Jesus' theology. That means the Lord's Prayer reveals to us how Jesus Christ understands God and reality in this messy world. And something profound happens when our eyes and ears are opened or reopened to this bigger reality. Something transformative happens when we start to see it and get it. See, this prayer is based on the wild-eyed belief that in the coming of Jesus, his crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and in the coming of the Holy Spirit, the tide has turned for this ruptured and messy world. The comeback has begun. It is the beginning of the end of sin, evil, death, and darkness, and all of their various forms and disguises. And one day, his kingdom will come in all of its fullness and goodness and beauty. And until then, we pray your kingdom come and your will be done on this messy earth that fights tooth and nail against your reign and rule, and in these messy hearts that fight tooth and nail against your reign and rule. Let your kingdom come there as it is in heaven, where your reign and your rule are unhindered and unopposed. See, where God is allowed to reign more fully, heaven is manifested on the earth. Heaven is made visible on the earth in 1,000 different ways. Let me say it a different way. The more God reigns in you and in me, the more heaven is manifested through us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now we get to us and what we need. Give us this day our daily bread. This is drawing back to the Old Testament. When the Israelites left slavery in Egypt but had not yet entered the promised land, and God provided for them in the form of the stuff called manna, and every day there'd be manna on the ground, and the people were told, go out, pick up enough manna that you need for the day, but don't take any more than that, because God would provide for the next day, the next day. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day whatever we need. This meeting, this appointment, this tough discussion, whatever. The picture is a good father who loves us and is near, ready to provide in the situations of our lives. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. I find it fascinating and significant that of all the things Jesus could have mentioned in this primer on prayer, where he says, here's how you do it, of all the subjects, all the things he could have brought up, he mentions forgiveness. I mean, obviously it makes sense he would say, forgive us our sins, I get that. But that he would say, as we also forgive others. That's how big of a deal forgiveness is, and unforgiveness in life. God forgiving us, and we forgiving others. N.T. Wright, in his wonderful book called The Lord and His Prayer. And if you're looking for a book to kind of delve deeper into this, it's short, it's to the point, and it's really good. He writes this: this prayer is given so that Jesus' followers can breathe in what he's doing, and so with that breath, come alive with his life. The church is to be the advanced guard of the great act of forgiveness of sins that God intends to accomplish for the entire cosmos. Justice and peace, truth and mercy will one day reign in God's world, and the church, who could almost be defined as the people who pray the Lord's Prayer, is to model and pioneer the way of life, which is actually the only way of life, because it is the way of forgiveness. You know what this means? This means that forgiveness is a sign of God's kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. It's a sign of the life of God flowing in us. When we ask God to forgive us and we live in the freedom of that forgiveness, and when we forgive those who have sinned against us and release them from this debt we think they have with us, we are embodying the kingdom of God, and we are restoring shalom in this ruptured world. I'll wrap this up. Protect us might be a way of thinking of the next section. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. We simply go, if we were to go into it, it's about remaining faithful when life is hard and we feel like quitting our faith. And then it ends with a kind of call to reorient us, a prayer to reorient us. The ending, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen," isn't actually in our Bibles, or if it is, it's footnoted in some cases, and if you read the footnote, it says this was probably added later, wasn't in the original manuscript. The oldest manuscripts that were found probably was put in there by Christians, because while it's not in the original, it certainly is consistent with Scripture, but if that means something too, so be it. But this puts the bookend on the prayer. Begins with God and his kingdom, and now it ends with God and his kingdom and his power and his glory. It starts with him, it ends with him. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. And once again, this prayer, as it comes to an end, reorients us to reality. And reality is this: God is king, his kingdom is real, his power is unmatched, his glory compels adoration, worship, and devotion. He is good, loving, kind, compassionate, holy, just, powerful, and true. And one day he will make all things new. Our lives and the world right now are often spinning and spiraling out of control, but God's is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. So I want to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads. And as we get ready to wrap up, we're going to take kind of a slow walk through the Lord's Prayer. I'm not sure that you would want to do this as a practice this week. I mean, you might, but again, when I get out of the car at Rayleigh's and I'm walking in to the store, my mind's going to be dwelling on something. How the bears cheat, for example, could be one of those things. Where's Woody? Where's Buzz? Or, does it take 60 seconds? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I'm probably by the ground turkey and chicken at this point. But somehow, some way, let's call it the Holy Spirit, I have prepped myself to dwell at a place on the earth called Raley's with perhaps a new framework. Because our Father in heaven is there, in me, with me, loving every soul in the place with an infinite love and desiring every soul in the place to come to him. Let's just pray this together. I'm going to read phrases. You can just sit. You don't have to read it. I'm going to read phrases. I'm just asking you to be in a posture of prayer with one thought in your mind. The Bible tells us that the King of Kings is with us, near us, always. Our Father in heaven, good Father, kind, loving, gracious, pursuing, caring, gentle, holy, pure, a good Father who is near with us right here, right now, near you. When you leave, he will be near you. When you're driving or walking, he is near you. When you're headed somewhere and you're not looking forward to wherever you are heading, he is with you, near you, in you, for you. Hallowed be your name. May it be treasured and valued, honored and held sacred, revered, and in the best sense of the word, even feared. Your kingdom come, your reign, your rule, that you and your way of doing things would be in charge. Your will be done. What you want. What's good from your perspective. What's right from your perspective. May your will be done. May it be accomplished. On earth, in this situation, in that country, in that leader's heart, in this relationship, just as it is where you are allowed to fully reign unhindered. Give us today, this day, everything we need. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins. As we forgive those who sinned against us. We prayed this earlier, and the name of a friend came into my mind whom I've not forgiven. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, trial. Lead us not to vulnerable places where the difficulties and sufferings of our lives will stretch us till we snap and cause us to abandon our faith either for 5 minutes or maybe forever. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. stay here for just a second. Because we all know in the world and in our lives, there are things that are just tumultuous. So we're going to pray that last phrase as we think of some of these areas of the world in our lives that are tumultuous. And Jordan's going to help us do that. Think for a moment about the turmoil in the world. It's all over the place. It's in our country. It's in other places. But just think of it in these specifics for our purposes today. In Iran. In Venezuela. In Ukraine. In Russia. Think within our own nation, all the division, all the finger pointing, the fighting, the yelling, the screaming, the name calling. Think of President Trump, Vice President Vance. Think of all the government institutions that and people who are making decisions.
Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory, your God.
Think of people who are feeling the threat of deportation and the anxiety that many of them feel for a variety of reasons, understandable reasons. Think of the vulnerable in our world, the poor, the elderly, the unborn. Small babies, people who are not fully able for whatever reason, people who have been damaged by other people who carry deep scars and wounds from horrible things that have happened.
Yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory, O God.
And finally, there are people in this room, whether it's cancer, some other disease, a relationship that's not working. Could be loneliness, fear, some heartache, a body that's failing, things that we so desperately would want God to fix, to heal. And maybe He will, and maybe He won't. Take all of those unfinished, broken shards of life, those ruptures, those pieces, things that are incomplete. And one more time with the words of the end of this prayer.
Yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory, O God. Yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory.
Thank you, Father, for being our Father, for being near, for being good. Amen. Thanks for being here today. I hope as you go, you will know the goodness of God and His peace, that you will practice this prayer, and that you will find God in strange places as you pray this prayer. May the peace of Christ be with you all.